بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are already coming towards the second odd night, which is going to be today. And I seriously cannot wait until the episode has finally come where I will be talking about these last nights. I think it's the 25th or 26th. It's one of these two. I'll have to look at my plan. I pray to Allah to bestow His mercy upon us, to bring about peace within us, and that we become equipped with the right knowledge that will not only bring us forward in our lives that we live, but also the soul that we have within, and that we grow as people and not just in number. And I hope that you all are safe, and if you know people who are not, I extend my prayers to them. So today's topic, it is quite intense as the last two episodes. I will try to keep it within 20 to 30 minutes. I do not have much to say today because this is a topic that has been part of modern culture, prehistoric times, of any, pick up any time. It has been a topic of that. And I feel that the surah that I'm talking about today, it is just so beautiful. It is, I think, for me so far, the most comprehensive, the most concise, yet deep answer to every question out there that has got to do something about theology, and especially God. This is the I think, in my knowledge, perhaps one of the only, or the only surah in Quran that talks about Allah alone. It does not talk about anything else. I guess today's talk will be very much focused on the religious aspect of many things. I'm not sure if I will be trying to derive its lessons in today's times, because I have done this in my previous episodes, but I feel that the surah deserves the attention as it is, and I did not want to read too much about the scholars, what they have to say, because this was the surah, this was the topic that I wanted to talk more about my personal experience, but I could not help but to refer to some of the scholars. As always, I've referred to Dr. Noman Ali Khan, and he also explained in this episode, it's actually 1.5 hours episode, where he also says that this talk has been translated to different languages, and I think it would have been the best thing to do, because his explanation on the surah is beautiful. The surah I'm talking about is 112, and it means a surah. Some people, so the thing is, the surah, the names of the surah was something that was decided by the companions. Very few were decided by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, but the names of the surah were mostly coined by companions. And since it's not, you know, it's not something that is engraved in stone, so some surah also have different names. For example, Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the second surah of the Quran, it has perhaps 17 different names, according to Dr. Sheikh Yasir Qadhi. And so this surah is called Surah Al-Ikhlas. It has also been called Surah Al-Samad, but many people know it as Surah Al-Ikhlas, which means, according to Dr. Mustafa Khattab, it means the sincerity. And according to Imam Al-Mawdudi, it has been translated as Al-Ikhlas, but it means purity, according to him. It is a very short surah. It consists of only 4 ayat. And according to Dr. Zakir Naik, for some people, he has been a controversial figure. And I'm not going to get into that, but I just like what he said about the surah, which was very true. He said that this is the litmus test of identifying God, of what actually God is. And I think some things, there's always this expression to blow things out of proportion, or to make a mountain out of a mole. For me, this is exactly, in my opinion, what has happened when it comes to God, when it comes to understanding God, especially because of this abstract philosophy and anthropomorphizing God, which actually means attributing human-like characteristics or behavior to gods. So the thing is, why I did not want to talk much about what the scholars have said, because I think, as I said during the entire podcast, there are certain things, there are certain realities in life that we need to start exploring them by ourselves, by looking at the correct sources, by speaking to the right people, by reaching out to the people of knowledge, and deriving our conclusions based on that, like what speaks to our soul, what speaks to our heart. But I would like to talk about my personal experience with this entire concept of God. And I have to say, so this surah that I'm talking about is, mashallah, I think it is a very blessed surah. Some people, according to the Islamic tradition, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say that if you can recite one, you can rec it's like reciting one third of the Quran. Not in the quantity, but with its blessing, with its barakah. And it is also one of the surahs that people, even if they're not that practicing Muslims, this is one surah that everybody knows. It's like one of, I think I talked about the surah also when I talked about establishing boundaries episode, where we talked about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Kawthar. So that surah, which is also only three, based on three ayat, that this surah is based on four, it is so concise in its meaning and so powerful. People have written, again, like scholars back in the time have written dozens of volumes of books on this, how Allah describes himself and how Allah has taken upon himself to say who he is. And I think this can only be internalized if we can understand first what Quran is. And this was my problem also. I recited the surah several times, and I also, this is one surah that I also know the translation by heart, but I never internalized it. I never really understood what Allah is. I would not use the word God, because I think the word God does not do any justice to the word Allah. And even the word Allah has its roots. People have talked about its roots, where it comes from, what it actually means, and I will just throw a bit of light on that a bit later. But I wanted to talk about my personal experience, that I never internalized the meaning of the surah. So I think I never understood in itself, like, what is Allah capable of? What is Allah? We all know these by heart, these words, regardless of what religion you come from, omnipotent, omniscience, or all powerful, mighty, all knowing, all seeing, all hearing, all of these things. And they were also repeating in Islam as well. So I was like, so what actually makes Allah Allah, right? Like, what is so different about this if we talk about more attributes? And I think this is what was happening, that because of this literal translations, the meaning was getting lost. The gravity of these words and how they are implemented, they are executed, they're understood in Islam, was all lost somehow. Because if you look at the Christian literature, or the Judaism, or the other Abrahamic religions, you find similarities, and especially the Quraysh, for whom this surah was sent down. Because the thing is that the Quraysh were asking, they were asking the Prophet, so what tribe does your God belong to? So what is he made up of? Is he made up of copper? Is he made of sand? Is he made of silver, gold? And on that note, I'd like to add something, that looking around, when people would visualize God, if you look at the other traditions, the Dharma religions, which consist of Hinduism, Buddhism, religions who are mostly based on reincarnation, the form that God takes is always a form of a human, more or less, in some way or the other. If not human, it's like some kind of a shape or form of a creation, which already exists. Even if you go to the Greek religion, or some people's Greek mythology, but depends if you believe in it, it's not a mythology anymore. You know, even if you look at the Greek gods, you know, there was some kind of a mix and amalgamation of an animal with a human, some kind of a form that resembled a human at the end of the day. And even if you, not only that, if you look at this pop culture, the modern culture of Netflix, or even if you look at the series that you see, every time a god has been given a form of a man with a manly voice, with a beard, and why man, right? It could have also been a woman, but that's not the point here, because the god is free of gender. It is nothing human-like, but that's where I want to go at the end of the day. But, you know, these were the questions that I would look at, and I'm like, how often do you come across that the creation looks like the creator? And by creator, I'm not creating a child. I'm just delivering a child that is in me, which is basically a result of conceiving a child. So if humans get together to create something, how often would they come together, be in a lab, and create a human out of that? We have no cloning and all those scientific achievements, but, you know, for me, it was just that this question in itself, like, what is actually God? Who is he that has that claims to have made everything, the earth, the galaxies, the universe, the stars, angels, everything, and also looking at the other religions, like, you know, when they say that angels, so for example, even the Quraysh claimed angels to be the daughter, a'udhu billah, of Allah. And they claimed, so if you go towards other faith, they consider a certain person to be the son of God, or they, a'udhu billah, and they, in some other traditions, they say that there is another partner of God. There are multiple gods. Some religions have up to 33 million gods. So this God has been a center of discussion for so many centuries, millennia, if not years. And When I came across the surah with its true meaning, it spoke volumes to me, because it was, for me, as I said, I'm again going to repeat my disclaimer, which I made in the beginning of this podcast, that this is just, this podcast and episodes that I make are merely my observations and my opinions and my research and what I concluded from that. No one is obliged to agree with anything I say. No one is or should never be obliged to believe whatever anyone says. It is something that they need to find for themselves. And I'm just presenting a perspective, nothing more. And for me, the most elaborate yet concise definition I could not find in any literature whatsoever, other than the surah, 112 of the Quran. It sounds very simple, but if you truly break down each and every word that is in the surah, one can literally write pages on what it actually contains. So Allah says in the surah, I'm not going to pick any particular ayah, because I guess the surah has to be studied in its entirety. Because one ayah complements the other. So Allah says in the surah, I will read the translation from Sahih International. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Say, He is Allah, the One, Allah, the Eternal Refuge. He neither begets nor is born, and nor is there to Him any equivalent. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. So you see that the first ayah is Qul huwallahu ahad. Ahad. People have written literatures, so much literature just on this word. The reason why I do not want to go into details, because this is something that I would like, I would not like to influence anyone's opinion on the surah, because I guess the surah is, sometimes we feel in our lives that we come to a point where we are like, okay, how do I start about God? What is God? Like, where, how do I know what he is? If there's anything, like, you know, this is mainly a question for people who are agnostic. Atheists are more or less convinced that there is no such thing as God. But I guess the surah is this opening door to understand what actually God is. And because of studying the surah and studying Quran, I came out to this conclusion for myself that I will never use the word God anymore. For me, it's Allah. Allah is a derivative of the word ilah, which means the one who's worthy of worship. And I think that is such a beautiful word. And there are so many attributes of Allah that come in pairs throughout the Quran. And if you really get to know all of these words, you will see the richness of the meaning of all of that. I guess, for me, Allah says beautifully in the Quran that had there been multiple gods, there would have been a clash. Because whenever you have two entities sharing the same power, same authority, there is definitely going to be a crash. There will always be a clash. There is always going to be a clash or a fight between two people sharing the same authority at one point or the other. You know, if you have two CEOs in the room of two different companies and you both have to work on creating one single product, how often does it happen that both of them agree exactly on the same things they both wanted? She could disagree with the other one. She could disagree with her counterpart, right? So it is just, for me, the talking about the unity, talking about oneness of Allah Himself has made so much sense for me over the past years. And I am convinced for in my research that Allah is something that is beyond what human can imagine. We need to understand that as I talked about this earlier in my podcast also, we need to understand the limits of our intellect. And, you know, for me, it is interesting that Allah points it out so beautifully that, the problem with humans is mostly that we want things our way. The freedom that we feel that we have within us, we do not feel the need to submit to something. I feel that humans are designed to submit. The question is, who do we submit to? This was my talk also when I did this, who or what do we worship? We will always end up filling in our lives with something, our minds, our hearts. For some people, everything for them is work. For some people, everything is their body. Like they go insane on how much they want to look in a particular way. They can spend millions of dollars because they fill they give that space which needs to be given to a divine entity. They give that to something else. And if you put, I've given this example earlier also, if you put orange juice in a car, it will not work. It's exactly what happens to our soul. Deep within, we did submit to Allah. This is the belief of Islam. And this is what even Allah says. It's a wonderful, wonderful example, because I've lived this so many times amongst my atheist friends. It says in Surah Yunus, Allah says at one place, it's quite a long verse, it's ayahs 22 to 23. Allah says that when you set sails in ships, rejoicing over a fair breeze, then all of a sudden a strong wind begins to rage against the passengers, and waves begin to surge upon them from every side, and they realize that they have been encircled by the tempest. At that time, they pray to Allah with sincere faith, saying, "If you deliver us from this danger, we will become the one of the grateful people." And when He delivers, the same people begin to rebel on earth against the truth. So this ayah, for me, ayat are so powerful. It's like in our lowest of the moments, we end up calling upon something higher than us. And most of the time I've heard people saying the word God, oh my God, especially when they are annoyed, when they feel the intensity of emotions, which are not positive, especially at that moment, they feel like calling upon God. And this is what exactly what Allah says. You call upon me when you think you're about to die and you want me to save you. And then when I save you, you go against the truth. So Allah says in those moments when you're really down, when you're really in danger, in those moments you can see the truth right in front of you. That's what Allah says at the end. But the same people begin to rebel on the earth against the truth. They did realize the truth. And what was the truth? That we are not all powerful. That we are not, it's not us. There is something beyond us. There is something beyond science. And that is why for so many years in Islamic civilization, until the 13th or 14th century, religion and science were advocated to go hand in hand. It was not what was going on in Europe in the Dark Ages at that time. That you had to divide between religion and science. This was not the case with Islam. I have done exhaustive research on this, and I have come across so many scholars who were mathematicians, who were physicists, astronomers, astrologers, who were studying optical sciences, where they were pioneers in their field, especially Ibn Sina. On the other hand, they did not ever promote the idea that there's no such thing as God. Einstein himself said that the more I study, the more I start believing in God. There are quotes from 10 different Nobel Prize winners who were physicists, physicians, chemists, who have Dr. Boyle, I don't remember his first name. He's considered the father of modern chemistry. He advocated the existence of God. This entire wave of atheism is pretty much new. There's a really interesting article by Dr. Naveed on Yaqeen Institute. I can highly recommend that epistemology of atheism. It's a beautiful article. It's very well written, 20 pages, and it talks about God. Now for me, why this surah is so special is because it gives me the identity of Allah. Allah talks it himself that I was not born from anywhere, and now I don't give birth. There is no such thing. And there is nothing like me. Like in the last surah, Allah says that وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ كُفُوا is someone who is similar to you in certain aspect, like your counterpart, so to say. Commander-in-chief, there's a commander-in-chief, there's one star, there's another star, there's a star that looks like sun in another galaxy, there's a galaxy like another galaxy, and so on. Allah says, I do not have any of that. I am timeless. My knowledge has no end, my knowledge has no beginning. And your knowledge has that. And this is where the problem is. You know, this is where our ego comes into play. We are not ready to accept the defeat. And for me, this is not really defeat, actually. For me, this is a victory that we start to realize the powers we have when once we start realizing the existence of Allah. So many things can come into perspective because we think that all the power belongs to human. The power, when we take Allah out of the equation, the most powerful becomes the person in charge. And that's the person everyone tries to be like. Like we start to follow these people. That's how these influencers come into existence. Because, okay, this person has 80 million followers or, I don't know, 120 million followers. And then, okay, they say something, they use something, and that becomes a trend. They set a trend globally, and we give them the power. So, and what the other thing that really, I think, the fact is that the intimidation that we feel by the fact that we are going to be questionable, that we are going to be answerable, and the fear that we have because of that we do not want to feel like that, is usually, in my opinion, is usually a sign of a corruption. If you feel that you're doing the best to be the best of yourself, why would you fear to be questioned? It's like standing in front of your parents or your boss or whatever, and you know that you have prepared for something and you feel so much confident. You don't feel, of course you feel the fear of being questioned because you know you're like, okay, did I prepare well enough? But if you have not prepared at all, then that's a complete different story altogether. You see how much you would want to avoid that. or leave that hanging out there. The more I saw that whenever it came to different cultures talking about God and it becoming a some form of creation, like, because for me, when Allah says that he's Khaliq, he says he created something without a blueprint. There was no, you know, for example, when I look as an engineer, you know, when you look at designing, for example, aircrafts, it is so often, especially in the automobile industry, that there's even a scientific term for that I'm forgetting, that they take inspiration from birds and their aerodynamics to design modern day vehicles, even fighter jets. Especially they study the powerful birds such as hawks, eagles, falcons, etc. How do they dive? In what form their bodies are shaped? And Allah says that I created all of this without anything. You look at anything that man tries to create, it takes a form that has already existed somewhere out there in the universe or in the earth, let alone universe. Even when you look at when we start depicting aliens, it is always some kind of that has already existed. So for me, all these questions were so powerfully answered by the surah that this is where I finally submitted to the knowledge that yes, there is Allah. And to me, it makes so much more sense that Allah or God is something that does not succumbs to what human wants. It is the other way around. We know what humans, what power, what authority can do to humans. History, our current politics are living examples of that. If that was the case, this place would be the most beautiful place to live on. But if I offend someone, but our ignorance in anthropomorphizing every single thing has led us to this aspect that, yeah, you know, God is something that is, you know, it's just like us, but more powerful out there in the heaven. And how often do we actually try to study Allah or God? And this episode, I do not want to make it anything about its implications in today's time. Yes, we need to understand this much more than we ever did. Look at where the world is going. Even at one point where we say that science is at its peak, it's advancing. I am not criticizing that, and I'm so happy that it's happening, especially with what medicine has done. You know, the life expectancy has increased, but we also know what pharma industry does, how much blood it has on their hands. I mean, look at the powerful nations in the world. Look at what EU does to the economies of Africa. What Africa has become. Even to this time, the currency of certain West African countries is regulated by European nations. So you see what if power was supposed to be, if it's meant to be with us, see what it does. What it does then. See what we are doing to the earth. And I think that we don't have to worry about what we are doing to the earth. The earth was hit by a meteor back in the time, and it evolved to this beautiful thing it is now. I think the earth will evolve also. It is us we have to worry about. The earth will evolve more powerful than before. Are we going to survive what we are doing, what we are pumping into this planet? That's the question we should ask. Are we taking care of this or not? So, you know, so that's why for me, Allah is someone, someone for me, it became so much evident for me that the world that we live in, where we are so-called the peak of our civilization, we have so much racism, we have ever-growing racism, we have ever-growing depressions, loneliness, lack of empathy, compassion. More and more children are dying. More and more people are busy collecting, hoarding wealth. There are so many billionaires out there right now, and there are so many people who do not even have enough money to afford clean water. Where does all this money go? There's so much disparity in this planet. There's so much going on right now. So if you think you do not need God, or you do not need, I don't know, a supreme power, then all the best. You know, it's all the best thinking that if with your power you can fix things. I think we think that way because we don't have power right now. I'm not shaming anyone here. I'm not attacking anybody, and I do have to apologize if my opinion on this matter has offended anybody. But this was not my intention. I just feel that it is about time that we wake up spiritually, that we open our eyes to the truth, whatever that truth is. And for me, alhamdulillah, I feel so proud having questioned my religion, being a Muslim, having questioned that for the last 10 years, living in Europe. I have come to so much peace and on so much terms through this surah. And honestly, this endless philosophical discussions do not need to have also a philosophical or complex answer. Simplicity can exist even for complex things. And even a greater question like who is God can have as simple answer as a surah. So I pray to Allah that He guides people who have the fire burning in them to the truth, to the reality, whatever that is for them. And I hope that He enriches our soul to seek out this knowledge, to walk on this path, and to realize what is happening around us, and we start taking things into perspective, and knowing that every man-made rule, every man-made object will always have biases. May Allah protect us from that. May Allah keep us in His protection. And I hope I did not offend anyone with this, but that is, as I said, this is something that I believe in, and I'm sure we all have opinions, we all have ideas which will come across as harsh for the others. The only difference is that I have spoken it out. On that note, I'd like to end today's episode. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaikum.